Welcome back to the Wise Divine Woman podcast. Today I have Cody Watkins, specialist in training, specialist in weight loss, and you've got to hear him. He's just such an enthusiastic soul. I just absolutely love it. Welcome to the Wise Divine Woman podcast. Cody, what brought you to where you are today?
So I started this pretty young. I think like a lot of people, when you look in the mirror, you don't like your body, you're afraid to get in the swimming pool because you're really uncomfortable. Discomfort's a state of growth, right? And it forced me to propel forward. So I took control of my health through nutrition, training, and all that. Got myself in really good shape, competed in various powerlifting, bodybuilding events, did that for about 10 years. And then eventually I had to have open heart surgery from a birth defect I did not know I had. And when your life gets ripped upside down, right, you got to come back from things. So it gave me a really good perspective shift. Because I was, you know, I was kind of meathead mentality, like, this is easy, you can do it no matter what, right? And yeah, that helped coming out of it. But life kicks you curveballs, right? And you got to be able to adapt to what happens and what it's giving you. It's, you can't throw in the towel, you can't give up. So what you have to do is just recraft, reformulate a plan and go from there, right? Just redirect, because you're only a failure if you don't get back up. So I came back from that, did a bodybuilding show 11 months after, reversed my heart failure, all kinds of cool stuff. And I kind of had the biggest excuse bat ever, right? If somebody had a reason why they couldn't do it, I could just home run it. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that time I was dying and I came back and got really good shape. So
I think it's amazing. Amazing. When I was looking through your website this morning, again, it's just this, you're seeing such incredible transformations for so many men and women, which is so amazing. And I'm sure that you're seeing this really great change in mindset for women over 45 that you're now seeing just like pouring in to your practice. So I love it. And tell me more about that.
Yeah. So it used to be kind of taboo for women to lift weights, right? They thought if they touch weights, they look like me. And ladies, I'll be the first to tell you, this took like 20 years of blood, sweat, and tears, right? I didn't just lift a little bit heavier and I was like, wow, I'm big. And so I like to think of it like this, right? If you go up to the gym or you see like the skinnier high school boys, they lift a lot of weights, really big weights. But you would never look at them and think, wow, they're bulky, I don't want to look like that. You'd be like, wow, I'm bigger than him. He's kind of tiny, right? And so weights directly won't bulk you up. What weights are going to do is they're going to give the proper stimulus to tell your body, hey, I need more muscle tissue or more muscle strength. And whatever nutrients we put in the body will facilitate that on top of hormones. So when we're getting in that peri, post-menopausal phase, somewhere right in there, you're not exactly hormone surplus at that point. So you're not at a point where you even have the strong capabilities to build a massive amount of muscle. So what we want to look at is like, what's muscle going to do for us at this point, right? Well, it's going to stimulate some of those faculties. The other thing though, sarcopenia is one of the main reasons you put on weight. So muscle loss due to age. So yes, menopause, hormonal fluctuations will increase belly fat and all that, but if you had sustained that muscle tissue from when you were 30 on, you'd have 10 to 15% more muscle mass going into the menopausal phases, meaning your metabolism would be that much more blazing. And this is why you'll see there's menopausal women all over in phenomenal shape, but a lot of them started earlier, right? And so it's not too late, right? If you're already there, but it is going to be your main mover outside nutrition to dial in, get that stomach tone, get that lean, not skinny fat look that a lot of people get if they're not doing the proper weight training.
It's so true. When I speak to women, it's kind of like asking them, what was your period like? How were you in your 30s? So it's almost like a lot of the times we're backpedaling and we should be speaking to the like kids who don't give a hoot right now. Yeah. And that women who are just like, you know, spiraling down in childcare and working and all those types of things. But really, it does come down to those habits that we create in our mid-30s to 40s. And it is our period health, even our own hormonal health in our 30s and 40s that are really going to set the stage to what can be an absolute phenomenal transition or what can be a hell in a handbasket. Yeah. So for sure, it is an incredible opportunity. And I love this because strength and balance, core, can be so important. What I do thermography as well. Yeah. So And I can see these things where their muscles or their the frame of their body, the spine of their body is starting to, you know,
shift.
There's nothing to hold it in place, right? And I think the thing too is like, talk to me about protein. Yeah. Like, this is a changing mindset on this, and the amount of protein that women actually need.
Yep.
Changes in menopause, but not how we think. It's sort of increasing the thought, the science behind it, the research that's been happening.
Yeah.
Tell me.
So I think the research has been behind schedule for many, many years. You know, the US standard for protein was 0.8 grams per kilogram of mass. That is, you gotta remember when they're putting out standards, that's bare minimum for generic health. This isn't talking about someone strenuous exercise, calorie deficits, leaching it out of the muscle tissues, any of that stuff. So I'm usually of the school of thought, I go 1 gram per pound of body weight. Now, if you're a larger human, a lot of it's from body fat. Obviously, you know, if you're 250, 300 pounds as a lady, you probably don't need that much protein, right? But think, eat 1 gram per pound of the goal weight you want to achieve. So if you're looking to be, you know, 140, 150 pounds, I would shoot for that as your goal weight and then fill in the gaps when it comes to it. So protein does three things for us, right? Just to keep it simple, protein increases satiety. So they did, I'm going to paraphrase it a bit, but they did a study on children. Kids can't lie. Fed one group eggs, fed one group oatmeal, fed one group steel cut oats. They gave them a little button, said, hey, push this. We'll feed you whatever you want when you get hungry. The kids that ate the oatmeal ate 70% more calories than eggs. The kids that ate the steel cut oats ate 50% more calories than eggs. So point being, like, we get so much more full, you almost don't need to worry about dieting if you just shift to protein first, because you're automatically going to bring those calories down. Second, we're going to go into the thermodynamics, right? So protein takes so much more energy to digest. It's 20 to 30% versus carbs and fat being 2 to 5%. So it's literally like giving you Stairmaster burning calories sitting on your butt. And I know if I can get easier results, I'm the first one to sign up for that package. Because, I mean, we're not going for the work. We're going for the reward.
Rewards first, yeah. Which is so phenomenal. Yeah, like the protein.
The third, you want to look at, like, you can't build muscle without it. So you could be going up there and say you're over the gym thing. You're like, okay, cool, I can get up here. I'm going to build my muscle. But you don't have the building blocks to do it. It's like you going up there with this blueprint to build a mansion, but you have the material to build a cottage. And it never is going to correlate. So you have to make sure you have the right amount of material to build that house that you want to build, or it's never going to happen.
How do you really talk people out of this aspect of more protein, more meat, more eggs, and heart disease, cholesterols?
Yeah. Well, as someone who's got ripped open for heart stuff, I am not someone that buys into the cholesterol for heart disease. So even if you look at the stats, diabetics are 3 times as likely for heart disease. Now, diabetics aren't diabetic because their cholesterol levels, they're diabetic because their sugar levels, which is pro-inflammation, which causes the sticking of the arteries. So there's a lot of interesting data. Again, this is not medical information. This is strictly just opinion. But if you look at Hong Kong over in China, it has the highest meat consumption in the world, 2 pounds per person per day of red meat. They have a 7-year longer lifespan than here in the US. They don't chastise cholesterol. They don't look at any of that. And even there's a conflicting study that just came out that put all the data of the cholesterol studies. And they were finding that people with higher LDLs actually live longer than people with lower LDLs. So I'm of the school of thought that we don't treat symptoms, we treat problems. And when we look at cholesterol as a whole, it has so many functions from neurological, energy, hormonal. When we try to bring that down to nil, and the main cause is coming from maybe being a little bit higher body fat, inflammatory foods or sugar, we hear hooves and we're thinking zebras, not horses, right? So we got to focus on the base problems first. And then if there is, you know, clotting, plugging in the arteries and all that, yeah, maybe then cholesterol might not be your best friend, but don't make a problem before it's there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm always of the thought process that cholesterol is required to produce hormones.
Yep.
If you've got a high cholesterol, it's a hormonal shift. It all makes sense. Research a little more about cholesterol studies. So it's always
if you're going into menopause, your hormones are low, maybe we want to give it any chance that we could get to get the good hormones up, right? So we're not going all crazy with that. And I like to stack my deck if possible, you know?
Exactly. I'm kind of like, sometimes they're needed. You know, but you have to go back to your foundation of health. What is your movement? How is your stress management? What are you eating? And what's your mindset, right? So it's all these different things of stop looking here when you need to be making sure this is filled here. So I love that. Tell me your approach. Mm-hmm. How do you approach your clients? How do you approach and get them into that mindset of protein and lifting and moving forward for strength and longevity of life?
Yeah, I don't find usually a lot of resistance when you can explain it. Because where most people, it's those fears, and fear will keep people paralyzed. So I'm of the mindset that fear can't live in the light, right? So if you were like walking through the woods and you heard a noise, you'd be like, oh, it's a chupacabra, it's Bigfoot, right? You're thinking this monster, and you shine your flashlight and it's like a little mouse scurrying around. And so problems are the same way, right? Like, oh, I'm gonna get bulky. Okay, let's address that. Why? We're like, oh, well, that high school kid doesn't get bulky. I have less hormones than him. I'm probably not going to get bulky either. Okay, cool. And so then you can come at them from a logical perspective, and then you have to paint the picture of where they want to go, right? Because it's not about the plane ticket. Like, here's what you have to do: 150 grams of protein, lift 3 times a week, right? People are going to be like, yawn, that sounds hard, I don't want to do it. But it's like, okay, what makes you uncomfortable? Is it your stomach fat? Cool. If you go to the beach, I want you to be like Stevie Wonder picking your two-piece bikini, right? Don't matter what it looks like, right? You can be completely blind, pick that out, and you're like, I'm gonna look good in this no matter what. And they're like, wait, life could be like that. And it's like, yes, absolutely, if we put the right plan in place, right? And so then it's about making subtle changes, not flipping a 180, right? Because, you know, I came from bodybuilding. That was chicken, rice, and broccoli, the only 3 food groups that get you in shape. And it's baloney, right? Like, that is not true at all. If you want to be miserable, it will work. But if you sit down, you're trying to feed your kids, your husband, everyone else, chicken, rice, and broccoli 6 days a week, I don't think they're going to like you, right? Just coming from, I've done that before, right? Like 5 years, no cheat meals, right? Like, luckily my wife was very tolerant, but it's nonsense, right? And so what you want to do is find a way to hit your protein numbers without sacrificing your quality of life. And when you can do it like that, it's a synergy. A plan that doesn't feel like a plan is a plan that can work, right? If you get up every morning and you dread it, it's never going to last. So you have to make small, subtle changes that get you moving directionally correct. So it's like getting up in the morning and brushing your teeth, right? You don't think about that when you get up in the morning. You're like, oh, I don't have dog breath, right? I'm just going to brush my teeth. When your plan's the same way, you are an unstoppable force to reach your goal.
It's so true. This is so true. I just love, I can sit here and listen to you all day, Cody. I'm not going to lie to you. I just love your enthusiasm. And I love how it makes such perfect sense. And again, the mindset of bulking up before you go work out and all of that's just crazy. So are you, not to throw like what needs to happen or what diet sort of focus, you're just looking at proteins and you fill in the gap from there? Is it more of a
That would be
carnivore kind of focus?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Right. So the easiest starting point, this is for anyone, men, women, menopausal, premenopausal, does not matter on this. Play the cards from where you're at. So one of the biggest mistakes I see is people are like, okay, time to diet. And they go, and it's so extreme from what they're doing. So just to give you context, if you were maybe a little bit higher body fat, right, and you're going to Burger King every single day for lunch, right? I'm not knocking it, right? So not saying it's healthy, not knocking it. But let's say you're going there, you're ordering a Whopper, a large fry, and a Coke. Okay. We all know that's not super healthy. But would we have to pull it out to get the weight loss you need? And realistically, the answer is no. What we could do is we could go to a small fry and a small Coke, or a diet Coke and a medium fry, and you would probably lose about 1 to 2 pounds a week just doing that. And just so, exactly, right? Now, I'm not saying that's the healthiest approach, but here's the thing. Winners win and losers lose. So this is a concept that's huge in my business, because not saying that we want to leave losers in the dust, but when we focus on what we're giving up and what we're losing, we will keep losing. So if we can focus on wins, right? If all we have to do is change a couple things about what you're doing and you start dropping weight, you're a winner. It's conditioned, it's moving forward. Now we're going to start making progress. So then what we can do with that is we can use that momentum. Be like, hey, Cindy, I see we've cut down to a small fry and a Diet Coke. What do you think about going with maybe a home cooked meal at this time or two times a week? And she's like, will that help me even more? Absolutely. Right. And then we can start moving that needle just a little bit more, but not to where it gets uncomfortable. So it's like that, that boil a frog scene, right? No, it's nonsense, right? I'm not sure the frog would sit there and get boiled alive, but just for the sake of it, if you crank it up slow, the frog sits there and cooks, right? But if you try to throw it in really hot water, that drastic change is going to jump right out. And so the same thing with us, right? If we notice it being drastic, we put up the fight. We're like, I can't do this. So if it's so subtle that we don't realize it, that's when it sticks. So make the small changes that get us big results over time. That's going to compound. Some people will need to give it more effort, more nudging. Other people can get away with it simpler. But be honest with yourself when you like track your food at first. Don't be like, okay, I normally it'd be pizza night tonight, but I'm going to have chicken, right? Well, you have skewed data, right? So look at it for what it is. Adjust off that. It doesn't take a lot of little changes to get the needle moving.
I love it. I love it. It's so true. It's like just the simple changes to start off with, feel the momentum, and then you're like, ball is rolling, let's go with it, right? Yeah. So I just think it's phenomenal. Thank you so much. Yeah. The biggest changes that you've seen for women, like what are some big things or what are some great transformations that you could share?
Yeah, as far as results or what in what context?
I don't know. Mindset? Hey. Well, mindset, or transformations, like it's
so
it's all fine. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm freezing up on here.
There we go. I lost myself there. Sorry.
Okay, cool. Yeah, as far as transformations go, I think people that one of the biggest things I could say for this is setting timelines, because if you approach it like this never ending timeline, you're not going to achieve it. So like work expands to fit the time allotted, Pareto principle, right? So if you're like, I want to get in shape, there's no goal and there's no deadline. So the likelihood you're going to achieve it is very, very slim. So if you have a big goal, you can chunk it down to something smaller and check that off, or you can set the goal and like make many steps along the way, same concept, but you have to know where you're going and you have to have a deadline, right? And it has to be realistic. So generally speaking, 1 to 2 pounds a week is my sweet spot when it comes to that. So I've shaved 100 pounds off people in a year, they are a brand new person by the time they get there. I've had people that were overweight in middle school, grade school, like 250, 300 pounds at 12 years old. And then all of a sudden they're 140 pounds with three kids with a flat stomach. And so it's life-changing when you get it like that. But how we do this is, yes, it's work, right? There's work involved. You can't sit on the couch and get there, but you have to take it chunk by chunk. And when you can do it like that, setting realistic, but goals that are a reach, right? You don't want to set them so easy, you know, you can do it, right? You want to have to strive a little bit for it. So if you got 30 pounds to lose, cool. Fast and it's going to take 15 weeks, slow and it's going to take 30. If it's not trending there where you need, that's where you got to crank it up, right? And that's where it's changing the approach, whether it's tightening up the nutrition, increasing the training, increasing the output, the steps. There's a lot of variables that you can do that are within your control. If the hormones are fighting you, right, you're in that post-menopausal phase, there is a lot of hormone clinics out there. So first thing I would do on that is see where your numbers actually are, right? People make the mistake like, I'm menopausal. Okay, what stage? Like, where are you? Like, where are the hormones?
Yeah.
And so, yes, you know you're getting symptoms, but if your testosterone's in the gutter, it actually was mind blowing to me. I had a client and I had worked with her for years. We did like fitness competitions. Okay. She was 54 years old. So when we had her blood work pulled, it was zero testosterone, the lowest, but I had her at 9% body fat in her 50s with no testosterone. Right. So it is still amazing what the bodies can do. Now she did have to put in a lot of work. But you can still get there. And that's the thing. And so if you can get the hormones fixed, supplemented, I should say, right? Whether it's hormone pellet, progesterone pills, like they can look at your blood work and see where the gaps are and fill those in. Basically plug you back in, right? Feel like you're 30, 40 years old again. That's my favorite thing to do. You can do it either way, but I'm all about making things easier for my clientele. So if I can take a little bit of sweat off and the program becomes more effective, you bet your
tip. So true. The same as with weightlifting and or protein or fitness that's changing. The world out there with bioidentical hormones is changing as well. And the research is changing and it is incredible to see the transformations, even with simple things like that.
Yeah.
So what are, just quickly, what are your thoughts on intermittent fasting?
I'm actually not a fan of this, and it could be contradictory to where you're at. Okay. So I rewind about me. I owned a DEXA scan machine for almost 4 years. So I'm sure you're familiar with that, but for your audience, it's the most accurate body fat testing machine. So if you're a lady, you've probably sat on the hospital to test your bone density. Little do you know, it actually can calculate your bone density, your fat, and your muscle tissue. Just most people don't want to know where the latter of those are. So the hospital, for the sake of not getting slapped, is not going to tell you what your body fat is. Now, someone like me can buy this machine and use it. So I have scanned over 1,000 people, and every single person that did intermittent fasting lost a massive amount of muscle and minimum amounts of body fat. So I had two guys do a week-long fast, you know, chicken broth, water, but no food. They lost, one of them that was lifting lost 14 pounds, 12 pounds, excuse me, was muscle. So only 2 pounds of fat. The other one was 15 pounds and 12 pounds of muscle down. So 3 pounds of fat, but he wasn't lifting. So the guy that was actually lifting lost more muscle because he was the fuel. So point being, if you're doing this intermittent fasting, you will get quick wins on the scale because you drop your calories down. However, that quick win you're getting on the scale is not good weight. So what it is muscle tissue, which is your tone, your definition, your strength. And so the minute you go back to eating, which you will, right? Because you're either going to do that for the rest of your life or go back to normal. Now it's going to come back with a vengeance because your metabolism's slower than you get there and you stay on the roller coaster, right? And what I like to do with people is get them off the fitness roller coaster, get them lean, get them eating more, ramp up that metabolism, and then I don't have to see them again. They're not a client, right? I'm not going to see them in 6 years where they're like, hey, Cody, put the weight back on. No, it's like, okay, cool. I see them at the grocery store. They're like, look, I'm still in shape. And I'm like, yes, this is what I want to see.
Yeah. It's so true. Yeah, it is conflicting with the intermittent fasting. That's for sure. And I love it. For some people, it's does what they want. And for maybe people in disease states, it does help.
Absolutely. For health benefits, I'm not knocking
that. But for women in menopause, there's already a lot of stress going on. Don't need more stress.
Well, so. And extremes are generally not good for anyone inside or outside of menopause, right? Whether it's keto, fasting, carnivore, vegan. If it's for religious purposes, food allergies, hey, more power to you. But I never found extremes to work good. And like me, I'm a hyper-focused person, right? So I can do extremes, but that's because I'll destroy everything else in my path to get there, right? And that's not something that I would recommend, nor do I think is healthy. It's just my personality, right? So like I seen what I left in the wake of my destruction after many, many years of doing it, right? But for most people, right, you got a family, you got relationships, you got jobs, you got kids. You don't want your kids seeing like screwed up eating patterns. They absorb that stuff even if you don't see it. And so what you want to do is have a healthy approach. If they look at mommy like, oh God, mommy's on another diet. We're having chicken for dinner, right? Whether you think it's a problem or not, it's probably going to manifest later for them. And if they look at it like, mommy's just eating food, well, it's a whole different animal, right? So that's one context to it. So if anyone in the program was anything like me, like I was a little rebellious, right? If my parents told me like, I can't see this person, I can't date this person, I can have these friends, I said, sure, mom and dad. I waited for them to go to bed and I snuck out my window and I did it anyways. Yeah. So same thing. If your diets are extreme, you're sneaking out your window. Just a matter of when, right? So don't make them so extreme you can't stick with it for the long haul.
I love that. Totally can relate. But I do love that analogy of things. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I should have realized that, the extremeness of things. And I do realize the bad habits or the diet mentality that I gave my own daughters for their own extreme dieting things that they've done in their lives. And you see it passed down from generation to generation, even with my husband, the way he may speak sometimes about obesity and, it just sometimes it's mind blowing, but I have to step back and ask, okay, this is how his mother would approach things, or how maybe his dad spoke about things. So it is changing, which is nice, but boy, sometimes it is very eye opening. So
yeah, absolutely.
So where can people find you?
Yeah, so if they're looking to find me, Instagram, Facebook, those are the best places. Cody Watkins Fitness on either platform. I'm hyper responsible on both. You'll catch me on Instagram a lot more than you will on the other social media platforms. But yeah, that's where I do a majority of my posts and anything like that.
And do you have your own podcast?
No, I do not.
Oh, you would be very exciting on a podcast.
That's why I just hop on a few here and there, right? It's fun to chit chat.
It is. Yep. And so tell me, a word of wisdom that you would tell your junior self or someone, even just people out there, one big nugget of wisdom. I think you've dropped so many, it's hard to say,
yeah.
to be honest. But a word of wisdom that you've really changed that you wish you share with people often.
Yeah. Progress, not perfection. So when I started, I was such a perfectionist. It's all or nothing mindset, right? And again, it worked for me, but because I sacrificed so much else in my life to do so, and not a lot of people are willing to do that. So just kind of to preface this, like, I was a guy who didn't even eat cake at my wedding because I didn't eat cheat meals, right? So my wife was out tasting the cake. She's like, try this one. I'm like, nope, I don't eat cake. I'm not that person, right? And fast forward, I could eat so much cake, I could never get fat now because my metabolism's so fast. And so for context, right, like I may have missed out on a lot of things. I don't regret anything, right? But I'd want to spare people a lot of that experience because it's just not necessary, right? So progress, not perfection. Because what will happen is if you're a perfection person, the first speed bump you get, it's going to derail you. You're going to spin. And because you can't do all, you'll do nothing. And you'll actually get less progress over time, like the tortoise and the hare. The rabbit's faster, but he don't win the race. And that's all or nothing in a nutshell. So take your wins, stack those. If you're making progress, it's directionally correct, you're good. If you slip, look at it, analyze it, say, okay, this is why I slipped. Maybe it's an emotional response. Maybe it's a physical, maybe it's a schedule response. Figure out a solution to that, and then all your problems will be in. So if you can take it one step at a time, progress, not perfection, you're going to get to that goal long before you ever thought possible.
I love it. Thank you so much. I think that's so incredible. So much wisdom. And I think it's incredible. Just so much. And even with the progress, not perfection type of approach to things, that I approach that with alcohol. I'm now just like one day a week. So that was, it's so hard in the culture or the peers that I have.
Well, especially the social status with it, right? So we don't drink. So it's one of those things, like whenever we go anywhere, their first response is, hey, what do you want to drink? And we were at a New Year's party, you know, my wife and I, and you know, I haven't drank in 17 years. She would be whatever, like 13 or something like that. And hey, more power to people that do, right? Just not our thing. But everyone's like toasting for New Year's, right? And they're like, hey, what do you want to drink? And we're like, oh no, we don't drink. And the whole place just stopped. Like they couldn't even
acknowledge.
Like, yeah, they're like, you don't drink at all. It's like, no. And so you'll get a lot of even peer pressure in those situations, which makes it challenging.
Yeah, it's interesting. That is for sure. It is it's a different culture out there, and things are changing as they should. And I think it's incredible how so many people have approached not only just food addictions differently, and now facing alcohol addictions, or even just a whole personality addictions differently as well. And I think there's so many great people like yourself and your wife to set examples, and so many people coming alongside, bringing awareness to things when it comes to themselves, mind, body, and soul.
Yeah. Well, and for your listeners, so I have a little gift that I put together for this. So anyone listening to this, if you DM message me on Instagram, freedom24, I have a whole portal built out with some of my best internal works that we use on our actual clients. So whether it's figuring out the macros, figuring out starting points with the calories, setting those habits, setting those mindsets, this whole thing will walk you through basically where to get started, right? And if you have any questions, you can ask me. I'm an open book when it comes to answering this stuff. But the biggest thing is getting you that momentum so you can start stacking wins. And if you can get in and you've been struggling with weight loss, you start seeing pounds melt off, you're like, oh, I can do this, right? Menopause isn't going to stop me. I'm only 45. And thinking years young, not years old, right? When you start going, oh, I'm so old, X, Y, Z, it's not a good mindset, right? And so you throw these habits in, you start programming these in, you'll be a new person before you know it.
Yeah. Quickly approaching 55. I think it's 55. In complete denial how old I am. I'm like, I don't know, how old am I this year? Again, it is this, again, switching this mindset. Like, I'm still really young inside. I just, you know, bump up.
Well, it was, if we rewind it, I remember when I was younger, I'm like, man, look at those 30-year-olds. They're so old. And then I'm like, 30's not that old. I don't feel any older than this person. And then I'm like, 50 used to be like ancient, you know, when I was younger. I'm like, 50's not even old now. And then
not even.
I think we keep kicking the can as we go, right? We just rationalize it. It's a
I think so. I think that, and with people like yourself helping people along the way, longevity is the name of the game. So
Absolutely.
Thank you, Cody, for joining me today. I look forward to sharing all your information at Freedom 24, is that what you had said?
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll share all that information where you can contact him. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today, Cody. Thank you for joining me on the Wise Divine Woman podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.